All right, for take two, let's see if we can get this out correctly. This is the Radio St. Pete exclusive Asian cult cinema. My name's Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
From Parts Unknown.
You should have left that first part in and just go, oh, hold on, take two, and then clapper.
I know. I thought about it, but I was like, nah, let's not. I was in mid-sentence. I was all excited. Today I received a package in the mail from Amazon, Vintage Sci-Fi, 6-movie collection. And it's all about these crazy ones, The H-Man, Valley of the Dragons, Battle in Outer Space, the Night the World Exploded. That's a pretty good title. Mm. The 27th Day and 12 to the Moon. I know I've done 12 to the Moon before and The H-Man before. We'll see. I whenever I get a hold of these.
But those aren't for this show.
No. Well, Valley of the Dragons might be.
No, Valley of Dragons is an American movie.
Okay. We
no Asians.
Yeah. Oftentimes, Dr. Morbius and I, to keep up with the ever-growing demand of material, you know, we're doing 3 to 4 movies a week. 2 to 3 movies a week now. You could never buy that many movies. So
I have them.
Yeah, some of them. So we're out there trolling YouTube or getting whatever we can find, and oftentimes it's of questionable quality. So when I can get a hold of a DVD or a collection that has some of these great, like a couple different movies, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll throw the $6 and have like watchable material for a while.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, we both suffer from time to time watching these movies.
I try to find stuff
through
Jell-O
and mud and
yeah,
audio cuts out. You're like,
I tell you though, YouTube is better than it used to be, because it used to be you couldn't even put a whole movie on there. They put them in segments.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So now some people actually put movies in there that are like a gig.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They look good.
I remember one we yanked down. I forget what show it was even for. It was a Criterion. I was like, wow, beautiful, beautiful cut. Everything was great. So you know, that's just one of those things where these little things in life oftentimes give me pleasure. You know, you're like, oh yeah, that's awesome. You know, nice little collection of movies that I know I will enjoy for the years to come.
You've got plenty of movies
thousands of movies.
So, you know,
thousands and thousands of movies.
You can find something.
Now
there,
I have 6
sure.
more.
1,006.
10,006 now.
There
it's
you
great.
Go. That makes
Boy,
a big difference.
I keep actually toying with the idea of ripping everything out of there and redoing that and getting rid of doubles and putting them back in order. Whoa, that's going to be a long weekend. That's like hours of work. That's not... I remember when we did the record collection, you're pulling them out, and then you're alphabetizing them, then you're doing the doubles and stuff like that. And it's great, because when it's done, you're like, ah, all the junk's gone, all the doubles are gone, it's a real thing again. But boy, oh boy, leading up to it, you better have eaten your Wheaties, you know.
Yeah, at least a double shot of Wheaties.
Yes.
Wheaties and beer.
Yes, mostly beer. Anyway. Yeah.
So what, anything else going on?
No, I was trying to think what has been going on. I know Radio St. Pete was nominated for on that category of best.
For an Emmy?
No.
Oscar?
What's that one thing, the Best of the Bay?
Oh, Best of the Bay, yeah.
We weren't, though.
And our show wasn't?
Neither was the Indie Circuit, which I was sad about. But then I was like, oh, well. Because I used to... There was a couple shows that weren't nominated, you know, and I was like, I was jealous immediately. And I was like, well, at the beginning of the Indie Circuit, I always say, often imitated, never duplicated, you know, from the other one that kind of ripped us off a little bit. Not a different show, different everything, kind of borrowed from us one time. Then I was like, well, now I'm going to say, often imitated, never nominated. That's going to be my new tagline. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's sad.
Well, fooey to yooey.
We're forgotten and lost in the bay.
Well, yeah, that's good. I like to live on the outskirts of fame and fortune. Yes.
What did you pick for us this week?
I picked a movie.
Good. Well, good. That's a good start.
It was a movie, and it was a movie from the Philippines, so it's Asian. There's Asian people in it. You
that's
know,
why
technically,
we made
it's got one of the greatest posters of all time. You ever see the poster for this
movie?
Wait till you see the poster for the movie. It's freaking amazing. And I can't say freaking. I didn't say the other word. And it's a part of a trilogy. We watched Brides of Blood earlier. I don't know if we watched Mad Doctor Blood Island, but this is Brides of Blood. This is Beast of Blood. This
Beast
is the last one. The trilogy, yeah. The first one isn't really this part of the trilogy.
With the head coming
off? Yeah,
up?
Oh, there's a better poster than that. It's the guy's pulling his head off. My buddy's got that poster. It's an
really?
Amazing. Oh, yeah, he bought it years ago. It's an amazing
now you guys,
poster.
This
is a movie we saw on TV a long time ago.
We talk about this on... We do another movie podcast called Slow Robot A Go-Go, which we watch pretty much whatever. It doesn't even matter. Mostly older B movies, sometimes really Z movies, sometimes A movies. It doesn't matter. We just kind of all over the place, keeping things loose. And I'm always amazed. I talked about it on that show a lot, Slow Robot A Go Go, that you guys have like this depth of you and your friends have these like posters and collections and stuff like really deep, far reaching. You know, you have a couple friends that have. I'm pretty sure it's. Amazing collections of stuff, you know.
And they keep buying too. I stopped
like
buying
posters and like posters.
I have tons of posters too, but I stopped buying them because
there's no place to put them. You know.
Well, yeah, I don't, and none of them are framed, you know, except for one maybe, you know. But yeah, my friend buys a lot of posters, but he didn't frame them. They're on his coffee table, but he's got them. All these kung fu posters and
that's amazing. Those are
yeah, it's tough from
those
all
are
over
tough the, to come by, man.
So from all over the world, but. Yeah, no. This movie was on. You know, this movie was this movie infamous movie for me because it was like when I was a kid in the mid 70s.
Such a weird.
I got like a book. There was a book at the bookstore. There was Walden Books, and there was always a book there. It was a remaindered book, $5, called Dennis Gifford's Pictorial History of Horror Movies. And you're going through it, and there's all these pictures, and it's going through the 20s to the 70s, and then towards the end of the book, you see the Chlorophyll Man on the beach, and you're like. Wow, I got to see that. And it took a while before I got to see it. It took at least 5 years because it had run its course theatrically.
Yeah.
So it hadn't gotten to TV yet until the early 80s. So it was like as soon as I saw that this movie was going to be playing, I was like, I lost it. I recorded it and I watched it. It was like, oh my God. But I was always sad because you could see the parts where they edited violence and nudity and all that stuff.
Well,
But they're crazy combination of American Filipinos are crazy people, but in a good way, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like you know the vampire, the bald headed vampire guy, and all that. And there's even weirder ones than that. But
this one's pretty crazy.
This one's pretty crazy. But this one, the first one we watched it before. It was the one where they're on a ship and they got the horny wife, remember, and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we watched the middle one, Mad Doctor. But
no, we didn't.
We should because that one actually. It's the beginning of the storyline for what that's worth. But this one is different because this one's kind of like Jungle Adventure for a lot of it.
This
know?
Is a couple different things.
But it gets really crazy.
This is one of those movies that's a few different things. You
it's
know?
A lot.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit of a stew of different ideas and genres.
Now, who makes these? I know John Agar is the guy.
No,
you know.
John Ashley.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking John Agar, man.
John Agar.
He does some good movies.
John Ashley from Beach Party Movies and all that stuff. These were, okay, there was a company.
Celeste Yarnell from Shields and Yarnell.
From Star Trek. And
yes.
And
Shields and Yarnell.
No, not Shields and Yarnell.
That was her dad. and then Eddie Garcia.
He's Lorca. No, he's, Lorca versus Lorca. I like it when the disembodied head goes, Lorca,
oh,
Lorca.
God.
That's such a great bizarro
so
image, man. No, there's a company that called Hemisphere Picture that started in the late 50s, and what was the name of the guy? Kane Lynn.
Yeah.
He went to the Philippines. I guess he had connections there. And he started a movie company, and it was kind of like cheap to film there.
It was hot for a while. Corman did a lot of stuff.
Lot of stuff there because it was non-union, cheap to
film.
That's
what it was.
But you're taking your life in your hands a little bit because there's a lot of wacky.
That's actual.
It's Wild West.
It's actual guerrilla shooting. It's not just like, you know.
Well, there's a story that I was hearing. You know that file that I gave you, you watch the movie, but it has a second audio track by the producer of the movie, and they talk about all the shenanigans that went on in the movie. And Ashley was talking about how one day they were going to one of the locations, and they got pulled by a bunch of like guerrillas, with guns, terrorists.
Like, what are you doing?
And they pulled them over and they lined them up and they go, "You guys, Americans. We hate Americans. We're going to kill you." And like supposedly Ashley goes, "No, I'm Italian." And they, "Oh, you're Italian? oh, okay, you can go now. We just hate Americans, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay. It sounds like a fanciful story, but, you know, whatever. So,
and that's why we don't do the World's Fair anymore.
Especially everyone in the Philippines.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're over.
When we
get back, we're going to get into it. Into the jungle, baby.
This has a great
beginning. You're
going to die. Has a great beginning and a great ending.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of walking around in between. All right, we'll be right back.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me.
Now, your city encounters America's fearless shock producer face to face as he dares the ultimate in savage realism.
America's most daring filmmaker sets out to strike his audience with a 1,000-volt jolt, and he achieves it.
EuroPix International puts you through the ringer with Frenzy of Blood, a starkly realistic double-barrel power package.
Frenzy of Blood, offering number one, I Dismember Mama. Violently raw, brutally frank. It had to be made that way.
Frenzy of Blood, offering number two. Blood-Spattered Bride, where insanity turns to unbearable violence.
Together, I Dismember Mama and Blood-Spattered Bride. Supervised admission will not permit anyone under the age of 17 to attend unless properly accompanied by a parent or adult guardian. The R rating will be strictly enforced.
If you want to discuss Frenzy of Blood, you've got to see it first.
All right, Frenzy of Blood.
Wow. Different movie, but I'm sure it's really good, too.
It has blood in the name of it.
Yeah, so this movie starts out with our hero, John Ashley, is on a ship, and he's leaving Blood Island after the tragedies that happened in the last movie. And he's on the ship, and there's like he's talking to one of the ship guys or whatever, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, this, like, monster, the chlorophyll man, shows up and he starts wrecking havoc.
Yeah.
He starts, like, throwing people off the ship, grabbing, like, gas canisters. He's trashing the place.
You're like, what are you doing? Who is this guy? You know, you're like, wow, out of nowhere, just weird monster guy. And they're shooting him and nothing's of no effect.
And then at the end, Ashley confronts him. They get into a fight. They run all over the place. And then, like, the tankers of gas that, like, were rolling, kind of like, you know, set the ship on fire, and it blew up. And you're like,
boom.
Oh, man, well, I guess everybody's dead. Nope. Because the next scene is you see Chlorophyll Man's on the beach, like, you know. Staggers into the jungle, and then you get the title credits, which are pretty cool, animated or whatever.
See, now, that was one quick cut, real quick. You said those titles were, like,
yeah, what I was saying is, like, at the beginning of it, the animation, the credits are the originals. But because these movies were chopped up for television and the titles were changed, I don't think they have, I don't think the, you know, Independent International, Sam Sherman, has the original title card for the movie. So they had to make new title cards for these movies because somehow or another, through shipping prints all over the country and blah, 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 they got either edited or lost along the way.
Well, I'll tell you what. After watching the last documentary about some of the very first drive-ins, look, mailmen would just let them sit by the road. They had those canisters.
Would
sit them and just say, this is where you pick them up whenever.
Yeah.
And tractors would come up and pick them up and take them to these people. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Crazy, because you see all these mailmen in these rural areas getting out of their truck, and they had those big, like,
movie
suitcase
canisters,
and they would just huck them by the side of the road, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You can't, but anyway, so, yeah, I can see how things, I never could understand how something like that could get lost, because to me it's like a precious little snowflake, but to everyone else it's like, who cares, you know?
Yeah, well, basically what it seems like is they probably made new prints for television. They chopped the titles off them and somewhere or another. But I really cannot believe that Sam Sherman didn't have the... Unless he did this to take more ownership of the movie. I'm not sure.
Never know. It doesn't matter.
I don't know if it's been... Anyway, so anyway. So then, okay.
And our hero survived.
Our hero survived.
He was like on the floating door kind of thing. Like all the rubble's around him. He's Barney and Betty. And he was laying on the door just like, oh, okay, I'm still alive, but I'm passed out.
He's okay, and he's heading, but he's heading back to Blood Island.
Now, smash cut to him on the docks, looking like Elvis, kinda. Yeah, he had the pompadour kick, and he's slamming it. And one of the ripest cherry tomatoes in town comes squeaking up, like, "Hey, I'm here to interview you." And he's "Shut up." And
he's like, "You want to? I've been following you for thousands of miles. I want to know what you found on Blood Island." He goes, "Yeah, I don't really want to talk about it." She goes, "Well, I'm going to follow you anyway."
She's like, "Well, you're gonna.
So you might as well, talk or whatever, So they end up on Blood Island. Of course, like in all the movies, that the ship walks in, all the natives are waiting for them.
Yeah. Oh, and they get a cold reception.
Yeah.
Also, who names their island Blood Island? I don't know, man. That seems like you're kind of really...
You're asking for trouble.
You're pigeonholing yourself into a bad way.
Yeah, you're asking for trouble.
Like Happy Fun Time Island? More tourists.
Yeah,
more money.
Yeah, yeah. Candyland Island.
Blood Island. Next to Plague Island. If you hit Death Island, you went too far.
Yeah, and if you miss Cancer Island, then you'll get to Blood Island or whatever. But anyway, so they get there.
Rhode Island. Yeah. So anyway, so they show up, and the chief is like, harumph, and he walks away, and Ashton's like, "I thought I'd get a better reception." And then
Miss Uncomfortable
shows
this up.
This gal, she is forward.
She's
like the tough chick of the island, and she's not afraid to say, "Hey, you're mine now," kind of.
Yeah, she likes John.
She likes John, and she's like, "Who's this woman with you? Is she your girlfriend?" He's like, "Nah, just some jerk."
Because the other girl apparently died in the last movie or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, his like,
which we should watch because it's been anyway. We'll get
his long running girlfriend died in that boat attack kind of thing.
The girl he met on the island. Again, we'll watch the other one so you can get the story. Even though they're like... Anyway, so they go in and they go, "Well, I need to... I want to find out what happened to, Lorca and all that, because I just,
Live in La Vida Lorca."
And they're like, "We don't really want to... we don't really want to talk about..."
They're like, "Get out of here, white man. You're evil."
And he's like, "Well, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to get some guys and we're going to go looking around." And she's like, "Okay, well..." She goes, "You know your way around the jungle?" He goes, "Well, sort of." She goes, "Well, I do. I'll be your guide or whatever."
And look, now they put up the incredibly white girl with blonde hair, and John and the sea captain's there. Like there's this gruff.
Yeah, Beverly Miller, who's actually the producer of the movie.
That
old man. Hey,
and the writer.
Hey, John. Beverly Miller, who's actually... owner of Drive-In, so that was his idea to write this story to do a sequel to the Mad Dr. Blood Island because it did really well. He wrote the story, sold it to John Ashley, and John Ashley pitched it to Hemisphere, and they went and did it in the Philippines.
Wow!
So you can thank Beverly Miller for this.
Yep, and that was all lost when we don't have Drive-Ins anymore. So
there's a few.
Yeah. So anyway, so those three are put up, and they're like, "Oh, that's the white man hut. Just go there." And he's like, "Okay," and this was, again, this is the time when somebody just did science. Like, they just had unload a whole bunch of bubbly things or, like, things that looked electronic in that day, and he was there to do science. Like, they didn't say what kind or how or why.
Yes, just science.
Just science. You know, as long as they had that jacket on and one of them had a pipe, they were doing science. So, and immediately, they tried to get killed. And the girl's like, "Oh, I'm going to take you into the jungle if you want to go look." And at every turn, this got annoying, to be honest with you. Our hero would go into this long thing going, "No, I'm going alone. Alone. Stay back. I'm alone." And he never was alone. He never did a single thing by himself.
Well, at the end he did. But anyway, So he's like, wants to be alone. And then the girl even wants to, like, she like drops her top and he's like, can't perform. And he's like, "I'm kind of embarrassed, but, I lost my girlfriend back there." She goes, "Oh, you must love her." "Yeah, well,
what a weirdo.
I'm not in the mood for, some of that yet, what I mean? I'm here for, I want to find out what happened." She goes, "Oh, okay." So basically, they keep going through the jungles and they sent Celeste Yarnell back.
Right.
And then she gets kidnapped.
Yeah. Well, there was this encounter with these dudes run around with, fungus on them.
Well, yeah, that's right.
And they shot them.
Yeah, because that was in the last movie. They were doing experiments with chlorophyll, to cure cancer. He was the doctor Ramon, the Dr. Lorca okay. was using chlorophyll to try to cure cancer. This was explained in the earlier movie. You're and like, it was working for a while, but it had like bad after effects, like these guys.
Uh-huh.
And they thought they were done with all this stuff, but they're back again, you know? So
now, this part here was interesting to me. Where they go up on that, they go through the jungle, and this had like a party was with them, like the leader was with them.
Yeah, they had a bunch of people.
And they're like in this place, they're like, oh, see, this isn't deserted because there was a light still on, and they find this way into this like weird cavernous castle.
Yeah, and it
was ill-defined why they were there or what they were doing, but they're just kind of like, oh.
That was the house.
The house.
That was the house, again, sorry.
Before.
That was in this movie, but that was the house of the doctor.
Right.
And it was trap set. And that's right. The blonde Celestial Nell was still with him, but after she fell into the pit with the cobra.
That was I laughed out loud. There's a cobra sitting there. This blonde girl's like, there's a cobra there. They shot that cobra right in the face.
Oh,
like the cobra just gets blown away by John Ashton.
Oh,
I laughed out loud because a cobra just got shot in the face.
Yeah.
It was these animals were not protected.
No, not in the Philippines. No, they probably ate them afterwards, you know.
I just started laughing. I was like, oh my God.
No, this is the Wild West.
All right, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll get through this, I promise. Wow, this is going fast.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Just a drink. A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Dr. Frankenstein, maker of monsters, creates the most monstrous nightmare of all. Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell. Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell. From Paramount Pictures, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Please give me $1 million and the fridge with a padlock and, oh yeah, huge pectoral muscles.
All right, we are back. Thank God, Frankenstein.
And the Monster from Hell.
Yep.
With Peter Cushing.
Nice. Everything has Peter Cushing until he died.
So at this point, after they had that mishap with her and they shot the cobra in the face, which made you laugh, still.
Yeah. So great.
They decide they're going to go on without her. They'll leave her back where she's going to be safe. They're going to hit the jungle trail, and they're going to find Lorca where he's at, and they're going to, like, you know.
Yeah, because now they know the mad doctor's still around. So, okay.
He's still alive.
He was just using a lot of this stuff as a ruse to keep people out of his domain.
Yeah.
So he's still making this monster, because the blood monster, I guess, terrorized the villages, so they moved, like. This wasn't just like a no big deal kind of thing. People were getting stolen and constant torture from the evil doctor camp, you know.
Yes, yes.
So that's why this is kind of like needed to happen, even though they don't want it to happen, because change is bad, everyone.
So they leave her back, but then they find out she gets kidnapped.
Kidnapped immediately.
And then as they're going through the jungle, they spot the kidnappers, which is like Bruno Punzalan, the bald-headed guy who's in all these movies, too.
Oh, at first I thought those were fake muscles.
I think they are.
They are like pillows. He's not that big.
No, he's not that
they
big.
Put pillows in his arms and stuff like that. You're like, you're not Bolo, bro.
No.
But so now they're again. Now the girl who the native girl who loves our hero, you know, and she is like wants him, you know, and so she's there with him, and he's like, you guys go back and get more guns. I'll traverse over here and think of a plan. And she's like, no, you're not going to be alone. You keep saying you're going to be alone, but you're not going to be alone. And she's like, we'll do it together. And that's when she makes her move on him. And he's like, no, I can't. I still love that dead lady. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, and they haven't invented,
Yeah, whatever.
The little blue pill yet.
Yeah, two tubs. So he's kind of fallen for the other girl. And I was like, whatever. Just
anyway, doesn't matter. They have to have some kind of a love triangle.
They just write it in for no reason.
So then there's a lot of chasing through the jungle. The girl tries to escape. She gets caught. She falls in quicksand. They save her.
Quicksand, dude? I was like, come on with
apparently, in real life, that was a scene where she almost got killed in that quicksand. It was like, because, you know, they're shooting them deep in the jungle. And, you know, they had to, like, pull her out because
they
was, like...
weren't quick enough?
She was, like, really scared for her life in that scene. So.
And this is so weird because one thing I did love about it, and you know where I'm going with this, So they pull her out of this quicksand, and she's like, you know, emotionally distraught. And one of the guys gets a little touchy, like he's going to do something.
Yeah.
And he rips open her shirt, and then the bald henchman,
Bruno,
you just hear click, click, click.
He's like,
this dude puts a gun to his head. I thought we were going to hear bang. I would have loved that. That would have been the greatest moment on cinema
and the
history.
Cobra.
Yeah, but instead he just kind of says, because he doesn't talk. And the other guy goes, okay, I guess this isn't cool here. No.
Yeah,
and he backs away because the dude has a gun to his head. And he's like,
because Mocha wants to go for a reason.
Yeah, and he's also not on my watch. You know?
Yeah, right.
So that's great.
So then they're you know, she's saved. They're following her, and then they finally they cut to like Dr. Lorca, and he's in his operating room, and you see like he cut off the head of Don Ramon. God. The body's on the slab, and the head's on the thing, because I guess when they caught Don Ramon, he's still like murderous or whatever, so yeah. They had to like they had to separate him.
Well, that's
to,
the
like,
that's
calm
the creature, the blood creature, the monster.
Yeah, that's the monster, the chlorophyll.
You said, I mean, you called him by his name, but
Don
I mean
Ramon, the monster.
Monster, and this is like this really grotesque head, and it's sitting there with like this neck juice, and he's still like
the brain that wouldn't die.
Yeah, the brain that wouldn't die all day long, and boy, in the background. Now this is something I've never seen this before. This guy has these round balls,
chlorophyll, the green juice,
to keep
him alive. Yeah,
and he has these things have like this, instead of those things from Spencer's where you touch them and the lightning goes
down.
It's filled with green water, and it spurts up through
a
pipe in the middle.
It's like a coffee maker.
It's percolating.
Chlorophyll flavored coffee.
Chlorophyll percolating. And they were so cool. I was like, oh, I want those, but I don't know how you do that. Like, that'd be great, because it would shoot up and then kind of run down the sides of the globe.
Yeah.
Clear globe. I'm like, oh, man.
So anyway,
percolating.
The Lorca's talking to the head, and he goes like, Don Ramon, come on, talk to me. I know you can talk. Come on, say something, buddy. I know you can talk.
Yeah,
and,
come on, let me have it. You
let me have it. Come on, tell me. Give me the what for? And he's like, you know, looking at him, going like,
and the body's twitching a little bit, like he can.
Yeah,
move.
The body's like trying, And I'm like, oh, okay, this is when the movie's getting good. Well, it takes a little while because then they go back to the jungle.
And that's what lost me a little bit.
The
jungle
yeah.
stuff, and I don't mind it, but if it gets too much of the back and forth, I kind of blur out. Like, I can't remember. Like, when it seems like a whole bunch of people wandering around in a jungle, and then they find a camp, and then they wander around some more, and they find some quicksand, I can't. My brain kind of short wires, like, heart, like,
yeah,
goes haywire
yeah, yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit.
It's a second act problem.
It's always
this movie 90 minutes, so let's pad it out a little bit.
Yeah, let's wander around some more. You're like, oh, God.
So, you know, they finally, like, they go through the jungle, they're just shooting the other guys, there's all this stuff going on or whatever. So it's like, okay, so John actually goes, look, we've killed some of these guys, but I think we find out where this guy is. He's like, a little hut. I'm going to go by myself, and you guys stay back.
I'm going alone, everyone.
I'm going alone, because I have to go alone, because that's my deal. But then you guys can come afterwards if you want.
Yeah.
You know, let me go by myself.
His whole plan is that he's going to go up there and then give himself up to Dr. Lorca, who is playing like a Dr. Evil all day long.
Yeah, because he's got half his face is all melted, and he's got the one patch over his eye.
He's performing surgery, and he has that one eye, and I'm like, I wouldn't let a good dude with one eye operate.
But he's performing it on the native, so they really don't care.
They can't really say very much.
It's like, oops, this is another bad one. Well, Lorca, you don't have two eyes, you know? If you
overcompensate, man.
So
that he's doing his best Dr. Evil or the from Bond, you know?
Dr. No.
Dr. No,
or whatever.
Whoever he can be, you know.
Yeah.
And because he's kind of smarmy towards the girl, but for a reason, like, he just...
And he's got that accent, like, Lorca, you know, that, like, it's like Spanish, Filipino, you know.
Kind of whatever.
Whatever, you know, but he's got...
Little Australian in there, probably.
But the girl shows up, and now she's wearing, like, a sarong, so she's all sexy
time. Oh, yeah, she's rocking it, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's all sexy time. And Ashley goes in there and goes, look, I just wanted to find you out. I'm not coming in here to... dish you or anything like that. I actually wanted to know maybe learn something from you or whatever.
At first he's like, look, I wasn't even going to come here to, I'm not here to, you know, you stole the woman, which I was like,
why
didn't you just ask me to come here?
Yeah, why didn't you just ask me?
And then because he goes, you know my penchant for being evil.
Where's my cat?
you're not evil at all. Because then he's like, well, that place fired me, so I really don't care about nothing. I would have just come here. I was kind of interested in your stuff.
He goes, I thought you died. He goes, no, he survived it, and Lorca and did, and blah, blah, blah. So they talk a little bit about what happened before. So then he goes, okay, well, you guys can stay here, and we'll give you a couple of rooms. So then, of course, that night, Celeste Arnell goes to her room, and then John Ashley follows, and of course, they...
Sexy time.
And then they talk about how, like...
Boobs. Sexy times and boobs, yeah.
She talks about how, like, Lorca actually wanted her to have his kid, and then she goes, but he doesn't mind if we both have it, because I guess he wants, like, an offspring or something.
He's like, I don't care. He said he could even be with you. He didn't care really where it came from.
He just wants, like, baby Lorca.
Dr. Evil. Mini-me.
He wants Mini-me, yeah. So they're like, well, okay, whatever. So then the next day, they wake up or whatever, and then, like, the other guys decide, okay,
now the plan's in effect.
The plan's in effect.
Because he told the one group, he's like, look, you guys come up this way and make all the noise and blow stuff up and shoot stuff, and then you guys, classic pincer move, go around the back and kind of come in and that's how we're going to escape. But he does kind of say, gonna kind of wing it. I really haven't figured this all out yet.
I'm not really like Patton or anything
just
like that.
Just kind of make some stuff explode, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the best way to be. But then, that's what they do. They kind of blow up some stuff, and then
they attack the thing. They start blowing everything up. Him and the girl escape. She starts, like, fighting people.
This is just crazy town.
Miss Philippines, like, throwing knives all over the place.
Now, this is where I thought we would see the classic trope. I thought the village woman would give herself to save the blonde so the man she loved could be happy.
Yeah.
Nah, and good. Because that's such a dumb thing. They always kill off, like, the native girl that loves her.
Just kind of
to get him out of the, get her out of the way kind of thing.
But this one
was like, nah. Which was great,
So he's got both girls if he wants them.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
So they're tearing the place up. They're fighting
blowing
all the natives.
Up.
And then, like, all of a sudden, it's like they throw a bomb and the mad scientist lab starts to... And then Ashley runs in there. And you go, and he starts seeing that it's all blowing up, and the monster actually, like, revives himself. Like, the monster tells, like, in the brain that wouldn't die, tells his, like, dead,
body,
go, get up, Lorca, I'm going to get you, whatever.
He starts talking, and it's this really weird, droning voice, and the monster's body actually kills Lorca.
Yeah, kills Lorca, but then, like, the bombs take off and the thing, and then John actually grabs a bunch of his files.
He grabs his
and he takes off.
You know what the thing is, and this is something I wrote in my notes, I was like, look, now, this is like this evil thing. The place is coming down. Wouldn't you put a bullet in its head just to be sure? You have an evil monster who's talking in a petri dish.
Yeah.
And you're standing there with your guns, and you're going to pick up this stuff, and you're like, meh. Now, the place is collapsing. The chances of survival are thin.
But there's always a chance of a sequel.
I would still put a bullet in that thing's head. Just because it's an affront to the Lord or whatever.
Yes.
I don't even care. It's like you're shooting a cobra in the face. You might as well do it. You're there anyway.
But they run out as quick as possible.
Yeah, they run out. And then
they go off. And then as they're going off, they're going walking up the mountain. And they look back and they see the big explosion.
Yep.
The place blows
up. Classic explosion.
And then as they're walking, when they're walking up, all of a sudden it's like one of the natives, you see, he's got like a casket or a box in it.
So you're like,
I wonder what that is.
Yeah, they don't explain that.
They didn't explain it in case there's a fourth one. And then the end.
I think they left some openings and they're like, because they're like, what are you going to do with all that research you took from there? Hopefully nothing. Let's go make babies. And that's it.
Yeah.
The end.
And then they never made another one. Even though these movies were successful, the producers never made another one. So The stories were told. We got the three cool little quirky, strange little mad scientist stories. And they're a lot of fun.
This
just
one
like
was
anything.
Weird. The people were weird. The leper people kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that net juice monster. That was a weird looking monster.
He's the best monster of all three of them.
Oh,
the second
movie's
a better movie, but the monster's better in this.
Such a gross looking thing.
Oh, man. They even have masks of them. Yeah, the chlorophyll man, he's a classic, dude.
Nice.
A classic. So, yeah, this is a favorite of mine.
Yeah, not bad by any means. It clipped along. The actors were fine. Never saw any boom mics. Even though it was in the Philippines, it wasn't on the cheap that you could tell.
Oh.
It was fine,
No, Eddie Romero, the director, was a fine director. These guys that worked on these movies, were really well-known directors, and this was their chance to make a movie shown in America.
Yeah. So, good stuff.
These movies are not favorites of the Filipino people, though. They're not really considered, you know, because they're co-productions. They don't really like them too much, but...
So, well, they're fickle. So, what do you give this thing?
Just because it's one of my favorites. I'm going to give it an 8, just because it's one of my favorites.
I'm going to say 7.5 to 8. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. It's a fun movie. Even though it gets trashed a lot by the quote-unquote critics... It's worth checking out. And you can get it on Amazon. Cheap.
Yeah. Go ahead. Grab them. Grab all three. All right. Yeah, that's it for this week. Yeah. My name's Matt, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
From Parts Unknown. And this has been Asian Cult Cinema. We will be back next week with some more crazy, wacky, whatever we can dig up. No music because we're out of time. See you next week, everyone.
Bye.